Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, we will be reading the 23 verses of this chapter. First Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, Paul is continuing to instruct the Corinthian church to address some difficulties and some problems going on there. And Paul, in these first four chapters, weaves together his encouragement and instruction to them. There were divisions in the congregation. And that's the topic that he addressed back in chapter 1, verse 11. He says, "For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. There was a problem of division in the church. And in the process of answering that problem of division, Paul weaves in what we talked about with regard to wisdom and folly. The wisdom of God, the foolishness of the world, and he talked about that from 1:18 through the end of chapter 2. Now he returns once again to that topic of divisions, of separations within the body. And he ends this chapter once again picking up the themes of wisdom and folly. He is weaving these two things together to demonstrate that the one who is wise in the ways of the Lord will not be caught in the ways of division. And so Paul is going to give instruction about how we should live as the people of God, as a united people of God, following after God's ways, not following after the ways of the world. And in chapter 3, he gives this beautiful sentence in verse 9, really I think the heart of this chapter. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. And Paul will use those two pictures. You are God's field, God's building, to instruct them, to describe for them what the church should be, what the church should look like. And just like that instruction was good for the church in Corinth, that instruction is good for us today. We are God's field. We are God's building. What does that mean for us as a congregation, as a church today? Paul begins by recognizing that there is to be growth and life among the members of the congregation. He begins in verse 1, But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Remember, Paul was the one who planted this congregation. Paul was the one who began this church. And he's recalling the past. Just as he will say in chapter 2, verse 1, And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. He's recalling the past. He's doing the same at the beginning of chapter 3. When I came to you, when you began, I could not address you as spiritual people. Well, that makes sense. They were not spiritual people. They lived in a Corinthian culture. A culture that was highly educated but ignorant with the things of God. And so Paul is simply recognizing where they were. When I came to you originally, when I came to you initially, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. He would not begin with the deepest truths of the faith, but begin with the simple message of the gospel, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He says, I could not address you that way because you weren't ready. He goes on, second half of verse 2. And even now, you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. And here Paul is giving a mild rebuke to them. You weren't ready then, that's understandable. But even now, you're not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. Now, we have in verse 1, the words, you were people of the flesh. And we have in verse 3, you are still of the flesh. And in English, we translate that word in the same way in both places, but it's a different word. It's a very similar word. In fact, there's only one letter difference in the word in verse 1 and the word in verse 3. The word in verse 1 is sarkinos, and verse 3, sarkikos. Now, what does that mean? The first word has to do with the essence of a thing. Children, think about the word wool. Wool comes from sheep. And we know what wool is. Wool is fluffy, and it's kind of whitish, and sheep, and a few other animals too, but sheep mainly, have wool. And so we talk about something being made of wool. That's the essence of the thing. But we can also use the word woolly to describe a characteristic of something. Maybe sometimes when you get up in the morning, your mom says your hair looks woolly. Well, she doesn't mean that you've got, you know, wool on your head. The nature of the thing. She says, it's all kind of fluffy and all kind of sticking up, like wool is. We can use wool to describe a color, a texture. But we don't mean that it is wool. We mean it's like wool. That's the distinction Paul is making. When I came to you, you were sarkanos. You were people of the flesh. You were worldly. That's understandable. But now, even now, you are still sarkikos. You look like the world yet. You are not that way. Your essence has changed. You are in the church. And yet you still look like the world. The first one, you could not help. The second one, you are responsible to change. Yes, the church began as the flesh, but it may not remain fleshly. Even now, you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. And Paul says, as evidence of this, for there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly yet? Behaving in only a human way, not a spiritual God-honoring way, but behaving in a human way. And when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? Paul says, there is to be growth. You are to live and thrive as members of the church, not staying where you were. Oh, you were of the world. That's understandable. But you may not remain worldly. There must be growth. There must be movement. There must be change. You must live and grow as a member of the people of God. And then he uses these two pictures, God's field and God's building. And he's going to kind of play with those two pictures back and forth to demonstrate how they are to grow and live as members of the church. You are God's field. You are God's building. And he addresses the problem of the division. One of you says, I follow Paul. One of you says, I follow Apollos. He acknowledges there are many workers in the church of God. Verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. Paul is trying to address the problem of division in the church with regard to the leadership. One says, I follow Paul. One says, I follow Apollos. Paul's answer, what is Apollos? What is Paul? Notice he doesn't say, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? That would focus on the man. And he's saying, take your mind off the man. Look at the role. Only servants through whom you believe. What are we? Paul says, Apollos and I are servants as the Lord assigned to each. Paul says, don't focus on the men. I'm sure they had different gifts. I'm sure they had different talents, perhaps different ministry styles. But Paul says, the men aren't important. It's the mission. We are but a few of the many workers in God's church, servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. He says in verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Different responsibilities for those with different talents, for those with different gifts. Paul was the missionary preacher. Paul was the church planter. He came and initially declared to them the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. And then, as Paul moves on to do that again somewhere else, along comes Apollos. Here, watering, building on what has been done. And so Paul says, "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." He says, don't get hung up on the workers. Don't get hung up on the differences. Focus on the work and what they are doing. Establishing a church and building a church like a field. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. The one who plants is nothing, the one who waters is not anything. And we see it even today. Farmer works in his field. Someone goes out and tills the soil, and someone goes out and plants the seed, and someone makes sure that the water is right. And all work together, but it's not the man that's important. It's what they produce. A crop. The grain, the corn, soybeans. What comes forth is what's important. Not so much the worker, but the work. All the workers work together for the benefit of the field. You are God's field, working together for one purpose, to grow. A field is meant to grow. A field is meant to thrive. Paul says, you are God's field. You are God's building. Again, two different pictures, but with a common theme. A field is meant to grow. A building is meant to be established. He says in verse 10, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. And so he begins this picture of, look, I began the church, and Apollos came along and helped the church, but now each of us, let each one be careful how he works to build up the body of Christ. How he works to be a blessing to God's building. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For he says, end of verse 8, each will receive his wages according to his labor. And he picks up that same thing again in verse 14. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. This work of building up the people of God, being a part of the field, being a part of the building, being a part of the growth, Paul says, will be rewarded. Now, in the Calvinist tradition, we don't like to talk about reward. We don't like to talk about reward that we get. We don't like to talk about our merit. We don't like to talk about the wages we receive for what we have done. And rightly so, with regard to the doctrine of justification, with regard to the beginning of our salvation. We are given the gift of salvation not as a reward for anything we have done, not as wages for anything we have done. The wages we deserve is the wages for our sin, which is death. No, we get the gift of salvation. But having received that gift, it is now our responsibility, it is now our obligation to build upon that gift. To build upon that blessing God has given to us. And Paul says, each one who builds will be rewarded according to the building he has done. He says, verse 11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation, if anyone, that's the whole church, if anyone builds on the foundation, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. We build on the foundation with gold or silver or precious stones or wood or hay or straw. Now, I don't think that Paul is here trying to distinguish each one of these six items as a different facet of building the building, but he is making a contrast. We have these first three building materials, gold and silver and precious stones, those things of value. And we have this second set of three, wood and hay and straw, that which is of lesser value, that which, when it comes to building, will not be as strong or as sufficient as the gold and the silver and the precious stones. Paul is drawing a contrast. He's saying, you're going to build. It's your obligation to build. You've been given the free gift of salvation. Now you must build upon that for the sake of God and for the sake of His church. What building materials will you use? Will you be those who labor to build up the church with gold and with silver and with precious stones? That is, offering to God the best that we have. Offering to God the best of our efforts. Offering to God the first fruits of our hands. Is that the character and the nature of our labor? Or are we building with wood and with hay and with straw? Not seeing how much we can offer for the upbuilding of the church, but seeing how little we can offer. What's the least amount of investment in the church that I can get by with? Everyone will build, Paul says. We will all labor to build up the body of Christ. You are God's field. You are God's building. What is the character, what is the nature of your labor? Are you offering to God the best of your resources, the most of what you have, being willing to serve Him with a heart of devotion, loving to do whatever He calls you to do? Or are we saying, how little can I do and still get by in the church? Because, Paul says, each one's work will become manifest. For the day, that's the day of judgment, the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive the reward. That is, if we have offered to God the fullness of our strength, we will receive in that final day the blessings and the glory of an overwhelming experience in the presence of God. But he says, if anyone's work is burned up, he's used wood and hay and straw, if his work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Again, Paul saying the work is not that which guarantees our salvation. No, the man, the woman will be saved. But their works, the meaningless service that they gave, the little that they offered to build up God's people will be burned up. And there will be not that overwhelming sense of reward and glory. Yes, they will attain heaven, but only as through the fire. Our goal in this life is not to get to heaven. God has assured us of that in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Our goal is to offer as much and the best and the greatest of ourselves that we might serve God. And in that, we see that those works the day will disclose, revealed by the fire, for the fire will test what each has done. Many workers, many together to build God's building, to tend God's field. But the reminder, while each has a different gift, each has a different talent, I planted, Apollos watered, there is only one foundation upon which we build. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. God is the one who will continue to work in His church. Yes, He will use us. He asks us to labor for Him. He asks us to labor hard for Him. But He is the one that brings the blessing. He is the one that gives the increase. Knowing that God is that foundation, that He gives the growth, doesn't relieve us of our responsibility. It encourages us in our responsibility. Knowing that we are being used by God Himself to build up His church. What a glory! What a blessing! Jesus Christ, that one and only foundation has been laid. But we are the workers. We are those whom God has chosen. We are those whom God has called to labor in the field, to build the building, to use our gifts, our talents, whatever they be, offering the best that we have to God. What a glory. So we take our focus off the men and put our focus on God, as Paul's instruction to the church. The one that plants, nothing. The one who waters, nothing. But God. God who has set the foundation. And verse 11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Bringing us back again to that theme of wisdom and folly and soundly standing on Jesus Christ and Him crucified as the fundamental teaching for God's people. God is the one who will be giving the foundation. God is the one who will be giving the growth. And God is the one then who gets all the glory. As God chooses to use us, as God chooses to use our individual gifts, our individual talents, we then don't take credit to ourselves. Look what I'm doing. Look, I'm offering gold and silver and precious stones. No, God is the one who gets all glory, who gets all honor, who gets all praise. He is the one who is giving the growth to that field. Oh, we labor in the field, but God gives the growth. We labor as those who are building that spiritual building, that temple in which the Spirit dwells. But God is the one who dwells there. God is the one who receives glory and honor and praise. We are the church of the living God. Just like the Corinthians were. Paul says, when I came, I recognized that you were people of the flesh, but you need to grow from there. You need to move on from there, no longer living as fleshly, as worldly, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been given the gift of salvation that is secured. Now, as God's field, as God's building, use your gifts, use your talents, offering the best that you have to build on that firm foundation, Jesus Christ. May God grant us His grace and His Spirit to live as His church. Let's pray together. Lord our God, how we thank You for the instruction and the encouragement You give us in Your Word. Just as the Apostle encouraged the Corinthian church, so You, O God, encourage us. Help us never to be satisfied in offering You the wood and the hay and the straw. But help us, O God, to expend ourselves for You. Offering the best that we have. Offering the most that we have. Not that we receive praise, but that Your church be built up, and that You, O God, receive the glory and the honor. Accept the praise that we bring, hear our prayer, and continue to work in us, Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.